It's the morning show. I'm Shereen Seewert. When I'm thirsty at the office, I head over to the bubbler. What is that? It's a drinking fountain, of course, if you live in the Midwest or more specifically in Wisconsin. Though the internet is connecting people more and more, we all have unique vocabularies depending on where we live. This feels especially true when we're talking about food. What you call the foods you eat can say a lot about where you grew up or where you live now. Pancakes or flapjacks, a sub sandwich or a hoagie? Join in on this discussion. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Luke Zahm is the owner of the Driftless Cafe in Viroqua. He is host of Wisconsin Foodie that airs on PBS Wisconsin. Luke, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, thank you so much. We were having so much fun preparing for this show and looking at all of the fun food terms in Wisconsin that if you went anywhere else, they wouldn't have any idea what you're talking about. And you know, there was an article recently published by Eat This, Not That that lists some food terms you only hear in the Midwest. One of them is booyah. Can you explain for people who do not live in the Green Bay area? What is this dish?
Booyah! So booyah is it's a fish stew or a chicken stew. So I think it's Flemish, actually, in its origin. But specifically with chicken booyah, because I think that that's the most commonly accepted one. You know, you put together all these wonderful ingredients, and it almost has all the nuances of a delicious chicken noodle soup. But with the booyah, it's such a cultural tradition. I do believe the Green Bay minor league baseball team is the booyah, which is amazing. And it speaks to like the cultural tradition that has been impacted on European settlers coming into Wisconsin and bringing some of this old world food with them.
Well, we have to talk about one of Milwaukee's longtime traditions, the cannibal sandwich. Now, here in central Wisconsin, where I live, we call it Wildcat. But the cannibal sandwich is famous in Milwaukee. And in 2019, WPR spoke with two Milwaukeeans about this staple, Chef Justin Carlisle, one of the restaurant Arden, and Jeff Zupan of Bunzel's Meat Market. And I don't think
nobody wants to call them cannibal sandwiches.
Right.
The old timers do.
Right.
They come in and go, I want some of the meat for cannibal sandwiches.
Right.
The other people are, I'd like a steak tartare. I'd like this or
right.
that.
Luke, I thought we didn't have the audio there, but then we did. So have you ever eaten a cannibal sandwich?
Oh, heck yeah, girl. Of course. You know, like growing up, we did, because my mom's side of the family, very German, it would be like raw hamburger with salt and black pepper, and then we would do onions, and then you'd put them on the rye cracker, which was, you know, pretty good. I remember that as a kid, like going up there, and of course you have this immediate shock of the raw meat, but it does. It comes from that idea of tartare. So we have, you know, at the best case scenario is we have delicious freshly ground beef, and you know, I would want to urge caution: know who's grinding your beef. Know where it's coming from.
Right.
If you can do it yourself, all the better. But then, you know, it's really quite lovely. A lot of times if I'm taking apart a whole animal, I want to taste it in some capacity in its raw state, because that's when you really get a lot of the nuance of the fat. And you don't lose a lot of that original delicious flavor through cooking. So cannibal sandwiches are kind of like this ode to, you know, the raw, we're taking apart the animal, we're going to eat it right here. And specifically, Justin Carlisle at Arden has, you know, kind of made its way in the industry with this amazing beef tartare that he makes with his father's beef. And it's delicious. If you haven't been to Arden, it's worth a trip. Absolutely.
Midwesterners love a good hot dish. This is the type of casserole. What's your favorite kind to make?
Grub all day long. So grub was one of these pieces in college when I was going to school at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. My roommates and I, you know, obviously like haute cuisine is kind of off the table when you're living on a pretty fixed income and a tight budget. But this one had tater tots. It had the ground beef. It had the cream of mushroom soup. It had peas or green beans, frozen preferably, whichever one you could, and all the hot sauce you could muster. you'd kind of bake it all together, and you get the tater tots nice and crispy on top, and then attack it with the hot sauce. And, you know, a good-sized pan of that would last maybe a day and a half in the house. It was great.
I think we all had that kind of hot dish when we were growing up, that favorite family hot dish. Another favorite Midwestern eat is a burger called the Juicy Lucy. Two bars in Minnesota claim to be the inventor of this. I think that's always up for debate. But what's the secret to making a good Juicy Lucy?
Well, first and foremost, don't look any farther than Wisconsin cheese. Minnesota can claim all they want, you know, and I mean, honestly, Minnesota's got to take their swagger where they can get it. I don't fault them for that at all. And if the Juicy Lucy's where it's at, fantastic. But for me, it's like two burgers where you put that cheese in the middle. And so you kind of pack that in really, really gently. And then you give it a really, really good cook. And once it kind of gets, you know, to the point where it smells like that meat's really starting to caramelize on the outside, you flip it, you do it again. And when you bite into that burger, all that cheese comes oozing out of the center. I don't know exactly how, like, you get the name Juicy Lucy out of that, but I know that it's delicious. And you know, I guess what's in a name?
We're talking about Midwest food terminology and the foods unique to Wisconsin with Luke Zahm. He is the host of Wisconsin Foodie on PBS Wisconsin. The Midwest has its own food lingo, including with donuts. The Long John, a rectangular donut. I never knew that people in other parts of the country didn't call it a Long John until like later in life. So what is that called outside of the Midwest?
I have no idea. I've always known them as Long John.
Yeah. They just call them donuts, I think.
Exactly. That's always been kind of the staple. Like, I remember growing up, like, you know, being able to go to the local bakery here in Viroqua, and, you know, with your 25 cents, you could get a Long John. I don't know. Maybe there's something. Maybe we're missing out. But you know what? I kind of doubt it. What's your favorite frosting on a Long John?
Oh, it's got to be just the plain white icing. I like that the best. What about you?
Sprinkles? Do you do sprinkles?
I do. I do like sprinkles. Yeah.
Oh my gosh! Awesome. I think I'm a maple. You know, the maple frosting type of thing. Like, it makes me feel like I'm eating something maybe a little more healthy for me.
Oh no. I can't do the maple. I love maple syrup, but I can't do maple frosting. How about dessert salads? This is a Midwest staple. You don't find these other places. Dessert and salad shouldn't go together, but they do so well. What do you picture about a decadent dessert salad?
My grandma used to make this thing, and my mom makes it now. And it's actually surprisingly complex. It's called 24-hour salad. And a couple years ago, like, my mom decided that nobody wanted to eat it at Thanksgiving or whatever holiday we were celebrating. And so she only made a small amount, like a quart of it. And there was almost a riot. This is like the 24-hour salad is pineapple. It's grapes cut in half. It's marshmallows. And then to make the actual dressing for it, which is kind of a misnomer, you make basically like a custard and then pour it over everything and you let it marinate for 24 hours. I mean, it's like the marshmallow, the fruit, it's super decadent. I do believe in other parts of the United States, they call it ambrosia, like in the Deep South. So we'd have to pronounce it a little different, like ambrosia. But it is also, you know, that dessert salad thing. My sister-in-law makes one with cranberry jello and celery and walnuts. Not my jam, personally, but, you know, it's definitely like if you've ever been to a Midwestern potluck, there's at least five or six of those dessert salads kind of in the corner, you know, talking at you while you're going through and getting all the hot dish you want, or maybe that, you know, shredded beef sandwich, or maybe it's a little risque and you've got that cannibal sandwich there, but you know you're going to go back for at least one, if not two, of those dessert salads.
Oh, you know it. In the Midwest, there's also this food term with two pronunciations, pasty and pasty. People mix them up sometimes. One is, you know, kind of a breast cover, obviously. The other is a baked pastry. So what do you know about this portable pie?
Portable pie, and I assume we're not talking about the breast covers.
Nope, we're not talking about that.
And here's the day we get censored on Wisconsin Public Radio.
I know. There goes my job.
So, I do believe pasties Am I doing the right one here? Yes, pasties are like this, also kind of like Flemish. It's the same thing. It was taken into like the mines, I believe. Wisconsin actually has an illustrious mining history, specifically in the southwest corner, kind of by where I live. You know, you're talking Platteville, you're talking about Mineral Point. And so the Flemish miners would take them into the mines with them. And it was kind of like this bread and you've got, you know, kind of whatever you want in the middle. Some people like it, you know, with the tomato and maybe a little pepperoni. But like, I think their OG ones are beef and potato and carrot. And you put it all in this sealed pastry pocket. And it's like the OG hot pocket, so to speak.
Exactly.
I know that in West Virginia, they do pepperoni rolls, which are the same thing. Like the coal miners would take them down into the mines. And it was food that would keep well. And, you know, you could have that little bit of comfort.
I love it. Luke, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate this fun discussion on a Friday.
Hey, I appreciate you guys. Take care. Have a great weekend.
Thanks. Luke Zahn, the owner of the Driftless Cafe in Viroqua and host of Wisconsin Foodie. On PBS Wisconsin, just ahead, natural disasters negatively impact socially vulnerable populations. A UW Oshkosh researcher explains how Wisconsin can better respond to emergencies, including natural disasters and deadly viruses. I'm Shereen Seward. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.